Victorville, you good? You're awake, that's good. All right, I wanna say hello to Hesperia and Apple Valley and Phelan. We're glad you're joining us today. I'm Brian Haney. I am the campus, I used to be a Phelan campus lead, and now I've transitioned to a role of personal discipleship, essentially. It's called personal growth pastor. And so the apologetics conference is near and dear to my heart, and I'll be talking about that in a moment. But my goal here at the church is to provide you guys with ways to grow. And so you can always contact me if you got ideas or you want to grow. I'm all ears because we want you to grow. But I want you to take out your notes for a second, and I want you to look at the title of the message. You see, the title of the message, I was given this task of preaching this weekend many, many moons ago, a long time ago. And I had an old teaching calendar, and I read it, and it said, how to pray for people that you don't like. And I went to Pastor Kurt, who is our teaching czar. He kind of arranges everything. And I said, Pastor Kurt, I just want to double check. I want to make sure I'm on the right topic because I know things, you know, COVID kind of screwed stuff up. And so I asked him, I said, what is the topic I'm supposed to teach? He said, he looked it up and he said, oh, it's how should you pray for our country and its leaders? And I have to say, I'm a little embarrassed to admit, but I actually just thought to myself, yeah, that's kind of what I thought. That's kind of what I thought. I thought it was how to pray for people you don't like. Because many of us, we assume that about our governing leaders. We think they're people that we don't like. And it cycles around. I get it. Sometimes we like them and sometimes we don't, every 2, 4, 6 years, whatever it is, right? We cycle through these emotions of like versus dislike. And so today's topic is harder because we're told to pray. And I want you to know I have done my best to remove any political bias out of this. I have done my best to not represent my own opinions when it comes to political ideologies. I've done my best to do nothing but point you right here to this word. Because this word is what gives us life. This word is what teaches us truth. This word is what helps us adjust to God Almighty. And then we can proceed to operate in our worlds in an appropriate way. And so I want you to give me a little grace. I want you to not allow when you hear something that might rub you wrong. I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to work in your heart and your mind. Sometimes you're offended because of me. I apologize. Sometimes you're offended because of the Holy Spirit. And for that, I will never apologize. Because the Holy Spirit needs to infiltrate our hearts and minds and renovate us. And so with that in mind, I'm gonna pray before we get started, just that the Lord would open our hearts and we would hear clearly from his word, not my words. So let's pray together. Lord, thank you for how you speak to us. Father, you are above all, and you are the Lord God Almighty. We are so, so thankful for that truth. And we pray for your kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. And I pray that today, as we share on this topic, that we would be able to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking very clearly to us how we need to adjust and change and be encouraged to continue to pray for those around us, including our governing leaders. And so I pray that my words would not get in the way, but your word would speak clearly and truthfully. In Christ's name, amen. Well, many of us sometimes, when you hear the word politician, what comes to mind? Don't shout it out, you might get yourself in trouble. But I think of phony. I think of a double talker. Or in some cases, I think often our culture says they just go to flat out liar. And sometimes that's how we view our politicians, especially the ones we disagree with. But that shouldn't be our first mode of operation to view people as those things, because I would dare say that the few categorize the many, meaning there's only a few politicians, maybe, that you really, really don't like, that you really have categorized that way, and so you discount the whole lot. Same happens with all kinds of people in different groups and segments of our population. We've seen that happen a ton this last decade, where everybody's been thrown into the same pot. A few of these bad guys represent a whole of this bad group. And we have to guard ourselves against that kind of thinking, because here's the thing, God died for everyone. We'll talk about that, we'll learn about that, we'll be reminded of that. And the fact is that it's a few bad apples that categorize the many. And if you recall, if you remember, it was actually a proverbial piece of fruit that got us into this whole mess. Because God created heaven and earth overlapping, where God was with us. And he was walking amongst us, and he gave us a command through Adam and Eve that we would understand and live under his appropriate rule and authority and governance. And we chose to reject it. And we took from the fruit that was pleasant to the eye. It looked good and satisfying. And we thought we would become like God. And we ate it, and sin entered the world. And when sin entered the world, guess what? Selfishness entered the world. When selfishness entered the world, it was pervasive throughout all human beings, born in sin, bound to sin, without hope, save Christ. Save Christ. And he came, and those of us that know him, our eyes have been opened and enlightened to the fact of who he is and what he's capable of doing, and renovating our hearts and our minds and changing our perspective on many things. And so this morning, I want you to change your perspective about what it means to pray for your governing leaders. You see, I was showed a bumper sticker recently. I didn't even know those were a thing still. You know, with social media and all that, it seems kind of funny to have a bumper sticker when you can always just hide behind a digital mask instead of someone seeing your face when you drive by. And the bumper sticker read this. It said, "Pray for our president." And then Psalm 109:8. I want to read you that verse. It says this: "May his days be few. May another take his place of leadership." You see, these are the kind of things that we do that we like. We like to say, man, I need a verse for that. And if this isn't proof positive that people don't really want to understand what the Bible says, but they rather want to have the Bible speak their opinions for them, then I don't know what would. You see, there's plenty of people using, misusing, categorizing, miscategorizing God's will with the person that they wanted to vote for. And I can tell you right now, I'm not here to speak to that. What I am here to speak to is the fact that we should never misuse this word. We should seek to understand what this word has to say for us, for our hearts, because we adjust to it, coming under it, not placing ourselves on top of it and saying, here's what proves that I'm right. Let me give you a verse. Be very careful of taking things out of context. And we often categorize our political opponents as enemies. Enemies. And I want to remind you of something that you've heard. You've heard it before. And that was Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 43, he said this: "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemies." You've heard that? Shoot, the news media is full of that. Social media is definitely full of that. But I tell you, Jesus, the Son of God, the very God, come to earth to teach us, to dwell among us, to overcome temptation, to be sinless in the world. And he said, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those that persecute you. In verse 45, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. Oh man, that you may act like your Father in heaven by loving your enemy and praying for those who persecute you. Do you remember that we were all far off? We were all without righteousness of our own. We were all distanced from God, condemned under sin, until God opened our eyes, and then till he provided Christ. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But in Christ, his righteousness becomes our own. If you are children of your Father, then you will pray for them that persecute you. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. And so it helps us to get the fact that we are not to hate our enemies. We're to love them. So if you categorize people on the other side of the political aisle as your enemy, I would challenge you, don't, first of all. Secondly, it don't matter if they're your enemy. You're called to love them anyway. Are you in Christ or are you not? Am I in Christ or am I not? Doesn't mean I have to agree with them, but I sure is God Almighty lives and dwells and resurrected from the dead, my heart and my mind, I have to love them. And that's our call. You see, I don't like the authority of men. I've always been prone, I think we've all been kind of prone to do that, especially in America. You've been given your rights, your freedoms, all of the things that entitle you to your opinion above all else. And so we get this perspective and we don't like authority. We definitely don't like the authority of men or the government when we disagree with it. By the grace of God, I actually enjoy the authority of God and I try to come under it. And when it tells me things that I don't like, I gotta wrestle with it. So do you. And so I want you to hear this today, and I want you to wrestle with it, because this isn't so much about how we are presiding over and above politicians. It's about how we could have been in the same position of making decisions that weren't necessarily farsighted, they were short-sighted, that weren't necessarily benevolent, they were selfish, that weren't necessarily caring and seeing it all, because they're finite individuals, just like you, just like me. So we have to be careful. And Paul was keenly aware of this. Paul was instructing one of his pastors that he had raised up in the church in Asia Minor, a man named Timothy. He's giving him instructions on how to run the church and how to operate. And he gives him instructions in 1 Timothy chapter 2. And so if you have a Bible, I would encourage you to turn there. If you have a glowy Bible, then flick it on and turn it there. Mark this down. Let it wash over your heart and mind. See what the Lord has to say to you. He says this in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I urge you then, first of all, when we hear a then, we have to know why. What's the then? What's the then referring back to? And if you go back up to verse 18, he talks about how he's giving him a commandment to stay consistent with what was prophesied over him. He tells him that he wants him to hold on to the faith with a good conscience. Hold on to the faith with a good conscience. That's what this comes out of. Remember that. Do you want to hold on to the faith with a good conscience? Do you know a good conscience helps you ascend to the reality of who God is through Christ and the righteousness he's brought about in your heart and mind through the Holy Spirit? That's a good conscience. If you are a child of God, if you've proclaimed Christ as your Savior, then that's what you want. You want a good conscience so that you can hold on to the faith. And in holding on to the faith, you display it well. And so we read, then I urge you, of first importance, of very important to you, that you should petition and make prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good, and it pleases God, our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind. The man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. This has now been witnessed to at the proper time. Everybody should know. These challenging verses tell us to pray for people, pray for all kinds of people. And so I just want to give you three thoughts today that will help you pray in the right way towards those that are governing over us, because they are what? They are people. They are people. You pray for all people. And so the first thing I want you to write down is this. How do you pray for our leaders? You pray with a humble perspective, a humble perspective. Verse 1, he talked about then, and he talked about going because you want to keep the faith, hold on to the faith in good conscience, meaning you can release the faith and not hold it as well, and you can have a bad conscience. And so do this well, knowing that you're vulnerable. We don't like that word, but we are vulnerable. We're vulnerable to falling away from the faith, to not practicing our faith well, to becoming discouraged in the practice of our faith. And so we have to be lifted up. And to do that, we do what? We pray. We pray. And it's interesting here, he uses four words for prayer, and they're kind of building. We don't really know what's going on. Is he trying to divide it up, or is he just trying to say, this is very important that you pray? And so I want to give you, we're going to go through these. I'm going to give you short definitions for what I think they mean in this immediate context. The first one, petitions. It's making requests on someone's behalf for specific needs. Specific needs. It requires you to know a little bit. It requires you to know a little bit beyond what the political media on both sides tends to tell you about the other person. I can't tell you how many times I've watched the news and they've showed a clip proving that what they said is true. And I listened to the clip and I said, dude, that's not even what he said. Because they're just trying to whoop it up. So read through the lines. Don't get caught up in that. Pray for specific needs of people in government. All people, but people in government. They got some specific needs. They're very similar to yours. That brings us to the next one with his prayer. Prayer, this is a generalized word for prayer. Prayers, it means to make a prayer to God for someone's general blessing and care. He says, pray for all people for their general blessing and care. Pray for the people you don't like. Pray for the people that try your patience. Pray for the people that annoy the heck out of you. Pray for the people that speak ill of you and persecute you. For their general blessing and care, who causes the sun to rise on the righteous and the unrighteous? The next one, he says, intercession. It means coming before God with boldness on someone's behalf. We come with boldness. Why do we come with boldness? Why? Because you're so good and you're so righteous? No way. I certainly couldn't come that way. No, because we are in Christ, and when we are in Christ, we have access and we have boldness to petition God on the behalf of other people. Intercession is speaking of this inner room and coming in and making petition on behalf of someone else with boldness. Do you come boldly for other people? Bold means you're into it. It means you're coming because you're excited about it. Thanksgiving, and this is the hard one, y'all. Are you thankful for other people? Those same people that try your patience and cause you to grow in patience. Those same people that you want to snap back at work, but you've got to hold your tongue in self-control, therefore revealing the power of God in your heart and in your mind, growing in the fruit of the Spirit. And therefore, you are thankful for them. Thankful for them. And you're thankful for your governing authorities. You see, right after this, he says that kings and all in authority, he goes more specific. Pray for all people, but then pray specifically for kings and all in authority. Now, some of you might be saying, well, man, he doesn't have our kings and our authorities. And I would challenge you to grab a book or go on the internet and search first century Roman Empire. I'd ask you to search for the governing authorities and what their character was like and how they operated in the world. I want to tell you something. Those characters would make our leaders look like Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts. Because those characters, they thought they were gods. They exacted judgment swift and harshly. There was no need for certain trial unless you were in specific citizenship. You were just executed based off of rumor. Paul would later be executed by Nero the king, the ruler, the emperor of the Roman Empire. Paul was keenly aware of what this meant because he had already spent time in a Roman prison before he wrote this. So lest you think that he was living under benevolent dictators, correct your thinking. He was living under suffering and hardship, just like Jesus. Do you remember who turned Jesus over to be crucified? It was the Jewish leaders, the governing body of the Jewish faith. He was given over to the Roman Empire, and the Roman soldiers executed him upon a cross. And do you know what he was saying when he was hanging on that cross? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. You see, we've got to have a humble perspective when we think about the realities of what it's like to live like Jesus. Because Jesus lived in such a way that he suffered on behalf of others and didn't throw out all kinds of shade on others. He had a humble perspective, although he was God Almighty. And so we have to think about this, and we have to adjust our minds to it, because God is less concerned that you have the right political ideology and more concerned that you have the right heart, a humble heart. You see, one of the keys to maintaining a humble heart is getting on your knees and going to bat for those that are in leadership, the kings and the rulers in authority over our country. And we do it with a humble perspective because we know that we have an absolute lack of control. We can vote, and you should vote, and you should pay attention to what you're voting for and voting against. Don't take the media's sometimes misinterpretation of it as the truth. Look at it for yourself. Take the responsibility seriously. But at the end of the day, you got no control. This is a representative government. You can vote for someone and them change the way they're operating when they get there. But you know who has control? God Almighty has control. And so when we are humbly petitioning on behalf of others, then we are recognizing his authority in our lives. And so we pray with a humble perspective. Secondly, we pray with the end game in mind. We pray with the end game in mind. God knows the end. God's not surprised. God's not confused about what's happening in the United States of America. God knows exactly the hearts of every man, woman, and child. And yet he still loves us. Isn't that humbling as well? 1 Timothy 2, verses 2, the second half of 2. Pray for them. Pray for all people, kings and authorities, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleasing to God, our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. There's an end game. You see it? God wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. This truth, represented here through Christ, displayed in our lives, through our submitting humbly under its authority and then operating out of it. And so we know the end game. And if we know the end game, it should adjust the way we pray. You see, he notices four words, and these are kind of rare words that he puts together, two and two. The first one, he says, peaceful. Pray for our governing authorities that we may live peaceful lives. This idea of peaceful, it means to be free from outward disturbance. It means to live in safety. Outward disturbance, so that you have every opportunity to operate on God's wavelength instead of being fretting over the realities of your safety and all of those things. And so far, we've been pretty safe in this country. So we pray for that to continue. We pray for our government to pay attention to other nations so that that continues. The next one is quiet. This is a very interesting word, not used but a couple of times in the New Testament. And what I believe it's stating here is it's a state of inward tranquility and calming restraint. Inward tranquility and calming restraint. Tranquility is not a word we use very often anymore. That's kind of an old school word. But it's this idea of being able to sit without being anxious about anything. It's an inward reality that you have, restraining ability to not let the things outside be affecting the inside so that you respond inappropriately. These two terms kind of coupled up together seem to represent this reality of that we are sitting under and we pray for peace for our government so that we can respond to God well and we can respond to others well. This is the exact opposite of what it feels like to get up and yell at your TV when you're shouting in agreement with whether it's MSNBC, CNN, or Fox News or Newsmax. It's the exact opposite of that. It's because it doesn't get you all riled up. Why? Because you know the end game. The end game helps you to live a peaceful life in quietness. And then he goes on to two other ones. He says, godly, that you might live godly lives. It's where generally it's piety is translated in many other places. It means to be blameless in conduct and attitude, blameless in conduct and attitude towards God. This means you're right with God. You pray for your government so that you can be maintaining godliness. You pray for your government so you can be maintaining holiness. I think it's better translated dignity. This is not the same word that's used for holiness in a lot of other places in the Bible. This word is dignity, and it means a moral seriousness that affects one's outward demeanor and intentions. A moral seriousness. Do you take the reality of Christ infiltrating your heart and mind, giving you the power to be patient and kind and restrained? Do you take that seriously? We don't like to take things seriously. We just like to hang out and have a good time. But the call of the Christian life, the call of the Holy Spirit on our hearts is that we take representing him well to the rest of the world, which is his end game, seriously. It seems to be pushing us that we have salvation already. We don't need to be looking for salvation in our government. We already have it in Christ. And I want you to look at verse 3. It says this. It says, this is good and pleases God, our Savior. What is good? Praying for your governing authorities is good and it pleases God. I don't really need to go much farther than that. If you are a child of God that wants to live under the authority of God, then you do what pleases God. That's all you need. I don't need to say anything else except for my own heart is sometimes hardened because I let my inappropriate understanding of how to live under the authority of God rule me instead of the Holy Spirit's empowerment to soften my heart towards others, to remember to be humble, and to remember the end game. There's three things I want you to know about the end game. The end game is personal. It's personal, meaning you've got some responsibility in this. That's why we encourage you to take the Oikos challenge, to list and pray for your people, invite them into conversations. Invest in their lives and prepare so that you can be ready to answer their questions about faith, truth, and life found in Christ. It's personal. Take it personally. With your government, take it personally. You have to personally pray for them. Secondly, it's communal. The end game is communal. We're all going to dwell for all eternity with God. So we all come together when we meet in our small groups. And we petition, we make thanksgiving, we intercede, and we pray for our governing leaders. Many commentators see this passage as pointing towards the way a church should operate because Paul is giving Timothy instruction as he was a pastor in Asia Minor. And this week in your 40 days group, you're going to have an opportunity to pray for our government. I encourage you to take it seriously. I encourage you to pay attention to what's going on in your world because then you can pray with information. If you want a list of things to pray for, I've provided that there in your notes. It's just simply this, pray that they would know the truth. We all need truth, do we not? All people, including those in the government. Pray that we would have peace to exercise our faith and share the gospel with others. So far, it is unhindered. So what are y'all worried about? We can share the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. As I speak, this is on the internet. God can use all things. We pray that people in the government and people in all of our life would seek true wisdom. We pray that people running our government will find Jesus and be transformed. That's the only thing that's going to change their perspective. Some of them know Jesus. We pray that they continue growing in it. We pray that they submit to the reality of it, just like we need to. If you have any doubt, I want to remind you of the last thing, and that is the end game is comprehensive. Comprehensive. Comprehensive means it's complete. It's all encompassing. I want you to think back of what you know of this word. I want you to think through Philippians chapter 2. I want you to think through the book of Revelation. Who is going to bring about the final government? Who's going to overthrow every wicked leader and every wicked government? Who is going to provide ultimate and true freedom for all eternity? Who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? It's Jesus. It's comprehensive. We know the end. And if we know the end, does it not affect the way we pray in the present? It should, y'all. Because we can pray with this confidence. And if you have any doubt that God can move in and amongst the government, I want you to just read Daniel chapter 4 this week. It's about a man who was the most prolific ruler of the day. And God saw him and God challenged him and God brought him low and humbled him so that he might recognize who he was. Read it, it's a fun read. Gotta hurry along. Number 3, pray with allegiance to Christ. How do we pray for our governing authorities? We pray with allegiance to Christ. Allegiance is a big deal in our culture. When people don't stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, it causes uprisings. When people don't stand for things that we think they should, it causes us frustration and we want them to do what we think they should do. And allegiance is this idea of noticing something to a point that you will align with it. And I want to tell you right now, if you are a child of God, if you want salvation through Christ, then your allegiance is to Him and Him alone. That doesn't mean you don't pay attention to anything. It doesn't mean that you don't have political opinions. But what it does mean is they come under the allegiance to Christ, not over. It means that when you display who you are to other people, it should be thinking about aligning with Christ more than it is thinking about aligning with a political ideology. Because it's popular, or because people hear it, or because they like it on your social media feed. Chapter 2, verse 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom. As a ransom. Do you know what a ransom is? It's a payment. It's paying off something so that you can capture something back. He became the ransom for all people. Lest you think this means there's no hell, I would encourage you to read the rest of the Bible because that's not what this is saying. What it is saying is we have one mediator, we have one guy who can go between us and he is capable and powerful of doing anything necessary to save all mankind. And when we pray with that kind of allegiance, understanding that, oh man, it changes the way we pray. This has now been witnessed at the proper time. You're in the proper time. You know the truth. If you know the truth of Christ, then your allegiance should shape the way you pray. It should shape the way I pray. This is not easy for me, folks. I get just as frustrated as you. But the fact of the matter remains that God calls us to pray. You see, if we were to have a political rally here at High Desert Church, we would pack the house, depending on which side we picked, right? We would pack the house because everyone wants to come and align with their allegiance. But we're not about that. We're not about a political allegiance. We're about the reality that we are aligned and our allegiance is with Christ. And that's why we have our own kind of rallies. That's why we have the Apologetics Conference coming up on November 13th. It's to help us get a correct perspective, to own what we know about God's word and how to apply it to our everyday lives and our everyday culture. We've got some wonderful teachers coming in from Biola who are going to be able to shed light on what it means to live out the Christian life in the real world with all of its issues and all of its problems and all of its perspectives. And so I want you to go to highdesertchurch.com/apologeticsconference. I want you to look at that, and I challenge you to sign up for it. Sign up for it. If you can't make the whole day, I don't care. Come for 2 hours. Come to allow the Holy Spirit to use the Word of God and some very smart men and women to help your mind wrap around what it means to have allegiance to Christ. Come to his rally. Because it's easy to buy into the visceral, emotional, attention-getting stuff that is all over the media. It's all over our socials. It's all over flags that are flying on the back of trucks and all around our places that are vulgarities demeaning the reality of our institution and our government. Here's what we do as Christian people. We have a humble perspective. We know the end game. And we show our allegiance to Christ. If someone was to look at your social media feed, would they see your allegiance to your political party more than they see your allegiance to Jesus? Because if that's true, I would challenge you. You need to get on your knees. I need to get on my knees if I ever allow those kind of things to come out of my heart and mind, let alone be presented to everyone else. So the bottom line is this. How should we pray for our leaders? We don't pray for our government because we like the decisions they're making, or they're making godly decisions. We pray for them because we need to make godly decisions. We pray for our government not because we agree with what they're doing, but because we agree that God is doing something in us. And he is doing something in this world, and he is doing it through his people. And his people are to be people of prayer. So I'm going to take some time, and we're going to pray for our governing authorities. And I want to encourage you to pray with me. I don't mean close your eyes. I mean pray with me. I mean, have a heart that says, yes, I want to agree. Yes, I want to petition. Yes, I want to provide thanksgiving for the government. Because at the end of the day, I have freedom to live out my Christian faith and display the truth of God to my front row. So let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for how it teaches us. Lord, we are so grateful that you are above it all, that you are holy, holy, holy. Lord, we humbly come before you today on behalf of those in the government, on behalf of President Joe Biden. Lord, I pray that you would empower him to seek truth, that you would give him wisdom that doesn't come from this world, it doesn't come from his advisors, but comes from you, from your word. Lord, I pray that you would bring people into his oikos, into his life, that would point him with graciousness and kindness and truth in their ascending towards allegiance to Christ, Lord, that he would see that and that he would be drawn towards your wisdom. I pray that you would care for his health, that you would bless him, that you would keep his physical body, his mental capacities, and his spiritual body. Lord, that you would help him to come to the understanding of who you are or grow in it if he knows you, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be thankful for our president. And I am thankful for President Joe Biden. I am thankful that you have appointed him that you have a plan for him. And I pray that that plan would be executed without any of us Christians getting in the way. Lord, I pray for Governor Newsom. I pray for the decisions he's making. Oh, what a challenge it must be to preside over the largest, most populated state in our union. Lord, I pray that you would help him to make decisions that are reflecting your wisdom, your character. Lord, that you would bring people alongside to shed that light on him. Lord, if he knows you, that you'd push deeper into the knowledge of you. If he doesn't, Lord, that through your power, you would enlighten his heart and his mind to who you are, and he would know salvation because you wish that none would perish, but that all would be saved. And Lord, we are thankful that we get to live in a state where we have so many blessings. We are thankful that we get to gather as a church, both in public school buildings and in our own buildings. We are just grateful for that. And we pray that you would bless the California government. We pray for many others, Lord, all of those in the Congress, all of those in our assemblies here in the state of California, Lord, that wisdom would prevail. And if you perhaps are here and you've never bent your knee to the authority of Jesus, I challenge you to do that. Perhaps God is opening your heart and mind that you need his authority in your life. You need to do what we say here as the ABCs. This is the initiation and the ongoing reality of the Christian walk. It is to admit that you are a sinner who needs a savior. Admit that you have shortcomings that distance you from God. Admit that you are unable to make up the righteousness on your own. So you need somebody else. And then it's B, it's believing that Jesus is the one who provided that for you through his life here on earth without sin, through his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his ascension, showing that you can draw near to God through him. You have to believe on his work, that it's enough for you, and that it's the only thing available for you. But beyond admitting your need and believing in Jesus, you have to choose to place yourself under his authority, under his governance. And so you can pray, Lord, I admit my need for you. I am a sinner who needs a savior. I believe Jesus is my savior, and I choose to follow you and give you control of my heart and mind. And if you prayed that prayer, you are a child of God. And for the rest of us, Lord, that have known you for a while, I pray that we would come under, humbly, under your word, under its truth, that we would be diligent in prayer for all people, and particularly for those in our government. And so, Lord, as we leave here today, help our hearts to wrestle with this, help our hearts to apply it, and minister to us, Lord. And Father, we thank you for loving us. Jesus, we thank you for coming and dying on our behalf. And Holy Spirit, we thank you for convincing us that these things are true. And all God's people said, amen.